And again, thank you for being here tonight. We're going to look into the Word of God this evening at Luke chapter number 9. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 9 while you're finding your place there in Luke 9. I did hear this story about this mom had her son out shopping all day. And boy, he was wore out. The little boy was. The mom was just getting revved up. But the little boy was wore out, tired of doing that. One of the later stores of the day, the clerk could see the little boy was all wore out. And so she had some suckers back there and she gave one to him and he took it gladly. And the mom said, "What do you say?" And the boy just looked at like kids have looked at you sometimes. "What do you say?" And she said, "I said, what do you say? Mom has taught you better than that. Leads you by example and tells you what to do, shows you what to do and tells you what to say. What do you say?" And he finally looked up and he said, "Charge it." So make sure you be careful. They learn what you say, I guess. So, well, we're looking at Luke. That was free tonight. I usually don't give one on Sunday nights, but you look like you needed one. So I thought, well, the Lord led. So Luke chapter 9, verse number 23. I want us to look at something tonight that I believe will, if anything, we could allow us to put our finger on why we have trouble reading our Bible consistently, why we have trouble forgiving a fellow Christian, why we have a trouble accepting apologies when somebody offers them, why we have struggles with loving our family that's in the same house with us, treasuring our kids, or why we have trouble with bitterness. Because it shows here in the Scriptures one thing that all of us need to battle, and that's self. And this passage of Scripture is about discipleship. Now, you have to be careful sometimes when we read Scripture passages, it looks like the Lord's making it hard to get saved. It's not hard to get saved. It's easy to get saved. Jesus did all the work. He died on the cross for your sins, for my sins. He shed His precious blood, was buried, and rose again. Salvation was secured that day, and anybody who chooses to receive Him as Savior, they can have forgiveness of their sins and go to heaven. That's salvation. But now discipleship is something different. You know, there's lots of people that received the Lord. They believed on Him as the Messiah when He was teaching and He was preaching and He was going throughout the shores there, Galilee. And as He was going there in Jerusalem, we see that there were many people that did believe on Him as Lord. But after the 5,000 were fed, it soon got back down to the few that followed. And the same it is in our lives. It's easy to get saved. Thank the Lord. We'll have Bible school here in just a few weeks, and I hope that you get involved with it. It's a special time for our church. And we'll tell every child that comes that Jesus Christ wants to be their Savior, and anybody who's old enough to understand the gospel will give it to them and tell them how to be saved. And so it's so easy to be saved. But then you get into a service sometime like this, and you read a passage of Scripture, or somebody reads a passage and says, "Wow, it looks like that's so hard that Jesus is making it very difficult to be saved." But I remind you again, as we see here, that the discipleship cost that's given, there's a difference between discipleship and salvation. Verse number 23, Luke 9. And He said to them all, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for My sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of Me and My words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He shall come in His own glory and in His Father's and the holy angels." You see in verse number 23, that phrase is given about in the middle of the verse there. It says, "He said unto them, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself." And there's a problem that we all have. I alluded to it already. And you looked at him in the mirror this morning. You are the worst enemy that you have. And I'm the worst enemy that I have. Sometimes people will say, "Oh, the devil's really been fighting me." And what they mean is that alarm went off and I didn't want to get up. Well, the devil didn't have to come do that. That was just your old flesh. Devil's really been fighting me. Ding-dongs and ho-hos and Twinkies and all that, that I've just been eating all I can. Devil's really fighting me. Devil's not fighting. That's just the flesh. We get mad at somebody. Oftentimes it's not the old devil fighting us. It's really our flesh. And that's why that trifold enemy we have, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But as I preach tonight, I want us to just think about this enemy that we face, and that enemy is ourself. Father, bless us now is our prayer. May we be true disciples of yours, dear Lord. I believe almost everybody in this room is saved. And I pray if there's one or a few that aren't sure that they're saved, I pray that tonight they would nail it down. And Lord, the rest that are saved, I pray that we would identify our enemy tonight. Lord, it's not the other person. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. But it's me, O Lord. And I'm standing in the need of prayer. I pray that we could see this discipleship choice play out in our lives tonight. And we'll ask you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage gives us a choice. We can go on our like normal and let ourselves be ourselves. Or we can choose tonight to give this phrase a try. And that is, die to self. Die to self. I remember Lee Robertson, who pastored the great Highland Park Baptist Church years ago. That was a phrase that he preached on again and again and again. Die to self. Die to self. Do you know something I learned about dead people? They have very little desire. They have no feelings. They don't have agendas. And they don't keep records. And if we would truly die to self, then we would take on some of those attributes. The song that the choir sang, the first one that they opened up with, was one that was sung oftentimes at Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. Bobby Robertson was the pastor for years. Well, Bobby Robertson had the old evangelist, Lester Roloff, come in and preach. He had the Roloff Evangelistic Homes down in Corpus Christi, Texas, and Roloff was in preaching one time, and they were riding along in the car, and Bobby Robertson had said something to Lester Roloff, two great preachers. He had said something to him, and he just got quiet. He thought, I've surely offended him. So he went on like that for a little while. They got to where they were going back to the church or wherever. And eventually, and throughout the day, he said, Brother Roloff, I noticed when I talked to you about whatever it was that you got really quiet. And he said, I'm sorry. Did I offend you? And he went on to tell him, he said, if you offended me, well, he went on to tell him first, it wasn't that. Something just came to his mind and he got quiet. Oftentimes that happens. He got quiet because he was thinking about something else. But he told him this great truth. He said, if you offend me, that's on my fault, not yours. Because then he followed up by saying, you can't offend a dead man. If I'm truly dead to self, all my wants and wishes, all my hopes for glory are dashed. I don't get puffed up or beat down because I'm dead to both sides of that. I want you to look in verse number 24, and I see here there's a definite decision that the Lord Jesus Christ tells the people there. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Christ tells his disciples to make a choice. You can save your life, and that doesn't mean physically save your life, but just take your life and do whatever you want with it. You can take your life as a believer, and you can live a life however you want to live. You can choose to live it your way. Now, you can't do that and get God's blessings and be blessed and be happy in that, but you can do what you want. But there's a decision that needs to be made, and that decision is if you lose your life for the sake of the gospel, lose your life for the will of the Lord, then you're going to have a much better outlook, a much better life than you ever would have trying to do all that you can to make you happy. Let me go with you to Christmas time. Now, when I was a kid, I heard all the old people say, I don't want anything for Christmas. I just want to see you kids open up presents. Well, that was good because I wanted a lot of stuff, so I was going to oblige them. If they'd buy, I'd open. But now that I've gotten a little older, I realize that they weren't lying. I thought they were. Everyone I heard, I nodded and I said yes. About like I used to think that missionaries, when they come in and they say, I need your money, but I want more than I want your money. I want your prayers. Just pray for us. I used to think that was a lie, that really what they wanted was our support. But I've come to realize that they do know the truth of what God can do more than what a little bit of money that we can give does. And I believe their truth. Well, I also believe it's true when older folks say, I just want to see you all be together. I'd rather see you get something than me. They've learned the truth that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, if you could take that and apply it to this aspect of your life. As Jesus was telling these disciples, he says, if you do all you can to save your life, and you do all you can to make your life yours, and you do all you can for me, mine, ours, and I want to do what I want to get done, and I want to go where I want to go, and I'm going to make sure that I'm the most comfortable that I can be. I'm going to push everybody else's desires or their well-being out of the way. I'm going to make it all happen for me. You answer me. You don't have to out loud, but you answer for me. Is that person going to be happy? Not in your life. Well, that's not only true in the physical, but it's also true in the spiritual, as Jesus saying, but whosoever will lose his life, forget about all those things that you want. Spend your time making other folks get what they want. And Zig Ziglar used to say that if you spend your life giving people what they want, you'll always have what you want. And the scriptures clearly says here that Jesus teaches his disciples and the people that are listening, if you do all you can and you just lose your life in the help and the service of other people, you'll be more blessed than that person that says, I'm in it for me. But we see a definite decision is here to be made. He says, for whosoever, and he draws the line, will save his life, will lose it, and he that loses life shall save it. My brother went into the Navy recruiter's office, and when you get them in, when they get you in there, you know what they want? They want a definite decision. They don't want to let you think about it for a while. And then when they come out, I've heard some young folks say, well, yeah, I signed up. I think that's what I'm going to do. I said, well, if you signed up, that is what you're going to do. You heard about that boy that was tired of his dad telling him what to do, tired of teachers telling him what to do, tired of principals telling him what to do. He said, I'm just tired of all of this. Nobody can tell me what to do. I'm going to go join the Marines. That's a good move. But here we see a definite decision. But I'm looking at verse number 26. We see there's a dangerous part of this decision, and that is we can disappoint, we can make ourselves in a way that is not pleasing to the Lord. The Bible says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory. We see that there's consequences to our decision. We have so long been in the long suffering of God that we forget that the decisions we make have consequences in our lives. I remember my dad coming in and telling him, I've got a brother that's just a year older than me, and I was always a little bit taller than him, and Mom would dress us like twins until we got up old enough to put a fight up about it enough and say, please stop. But Dad would come in and tell us boys that he needed to have a little talk. My oldest brother and my sister are a good bit older, several years older, so it was on those two, and then us two, Mark and I. And when Dad would come in and tell Mark and I, we need to have a little talk, I didn't think he was talking about a prayer meeting, and I was right, he wasn't. You understand, that's rarely a good thing, but he needed a decision to be made. And you understand that as we live our Christian lives, just like you live the life in your father's house, that you can either live one that's pleasing to that father, or you can live one that is opposite of how he wants you to live. Now, neither of the way you live change who your father is. It just changes the circumstances, changes the atmosphere in that home that you live in. We always portray our entrance into heaven as being a glorious thing. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And it certainly will be a wonderful thing. We'll be glad we're there. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 15, that there is this aspect that there will be folks that are there that they did nothing for the Lord. They did very little, if anything, for His kingdom. They were saved, as the Bible says, yet so as by fire. Now, will they still be there? Certainly. But my friend, I don't want to be saved yet so as by fire. I want to please the Lord while I'm here. I want to make this decision on a regular basis, but I want to make this decision as verse number 26 talks about. I don't want to be ashamed of my Lord. I want to be that one that stands up for Christ. And I want to live my life in such a way that the Father is pleased with how I'm doing. Not just that He says, yes, I see Him through the blood of my Son. God couldn't love me anymore because I'm His. He loves me and He saved me. I'm I'm just as saved as I ever will be, but I live my life now not to get saved, not to have him like me because he's already crazy about me, but I live my life now so that I can honor and glorify his name. You say, are you trying to get points with God? I don't think you can get any more points than this. He's already sent his son to die on the cross for us. We don't need to get points for God. I just want to serve my God. I want to live for him. As a teenager, as an older person, whoever you are, I trust that you would come do the same as well. Speaking back about our parents, you understand how this works sometimes when we make our parents tell us exactly what they want. If you're parenting here, you know what it's like when you don't really want your kid to do something, but you don't have a great reason to say no. You just kind of, we call it in West Virginia, hum-haw. You've been there before? You can't think of a good reason. If you did, you'd give it to them, but you really just don't feel good about it. You know what the wise son or the wise daughter does? The wise son or the wise daughter takes that as a leading that probably it's not a good idea to do it right now. What the rebellious child does, they force them to say, are you saying no or are you saying okay? And I'm afraid sometimes that's how we as Christians live. I've heard so many times this statement that when people are wanting to do something in their life, their Christian life, well, show me where in the Bible it says I'm not supposed to. Show me where it says I can't smoke that cigarette. Show me where it says I can't do this. Show me where it says I can't snuggle up on the dance floor with somebody. Show me the verse that says I can't strip off at the public pool. Show me where says I can't live and dress the way I want. Show me there. And that's about, I liken that to that young person telling their parent, so are you saying for sure I can't, or are you saying maybe I can? What a wise child would be, or what a wise child would do, would try to listen and gain the heart of their parent and see if the parent doesn't think that's a good idea, not push them on the issue. And then they would say, well, if he's not comfortable, neither am I. And my friend, if we're going to live our lives by saying, I want you to show me black and white where it says, thou shalt not do this on a Tuesday morning, then we're looking at it all wrong. I'm not talking about what we need to do to be saved. The only thing you need to do to be saved is come to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about us becoming disciples, that we follow him. Nothing is too great to give to him. Nothing is too bold of a move to live for him. I see this decision that's given in verse number 26. But I want you to look back in verse number 23. And I want to just hone in on this before we leave tonight. And I want you to see this daily decision. And he saith to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I'm afraid that we've got Christians all over our land today that are saved, just as saved as any good Bible-believing Christian is. But they've not made that daily decision, or they're not making that daily decision to live for the Lord. I think that most everybody in this room, you've come to a place in your life where you did the first two. There was a definite decision. I'm saved, but I want to live for Christ. And I want to do it, and I want to make my mark for Jesus. I want to, I almost said be making proud. I don't mean that. I want to please him with how I live. I want to give Jesus a good name. You understand that you and I are in the PR department. We're in the public relations. We're in advertising. We are who people see, and they base what Christians are supposed to be on you and I. And really, when you live a dedicated disciple life, what you're saying is, I want to give Jesus a good name in this community. You say, oh, Jesus got a good name, whether I live for him or not. He does, but you're the only Jesus. You're the best representation for somebody that they're going to have of Jesus. So I believe us in this room, we've made that definite decision. We've said, I do want to live for Jesus Christ. We've made that decision where you say, I don't want him to be ashamed of me, but I'm asking you, have we done it today? Let us take up our cross daily and follow him. This is May 15th. You know what many Christians did at the beginning of this year? January 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They started reading 3 or 4 chapters of the Bible a day. January 1, 2, 3, 4. But you know what's harder? to get to May 15th and still be trying to read a little bit. Because it's that long haul. Daily. A lot of times young people will go to a youth conference, and Brother Kyle will take them to a teen extreme, to the teen camp this summer, and they'll get in an excited service, and they'll say, I want to live my life for Jesus, and that's wonderful, and that's the start. But you know what they have to do? They have to renew that decision the next day. Renew that decision the next day. Somebody here in a church service, we come, we say, I want to live for Jesus Christ. I want to do what God wants me to do, and that's wonderful. You know what we have to do the next day? Say, Lord, I'm reporting for duty again. I'm still wanting to serve you. It's a daily decision as we see that you and I, we need to die to self. And then the next day, self has a resurrection. I always often think about that passage in 1 Corinthians or wherever it is where it talks about we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. I've mentioned it before, but you know the problem with a living sacrifice? I heard an old preacher say one time, the problem with living sacrifice is they keep crawling down off the altar. You'll make a great decision. I'm going to stop that. That bickering or that belly aching or that gossiping or whatever it is, just fill in the blank. I'm going to stop that. And you mean it. And you do. Do you know what happens the next day? Gossip comes back up and says, hey, I know you left me alone yesterday, but I'm back. I'm your buddy today. We have to die daily, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the apostle tells them. You know, we'll never shed this responsibility. A definite decision is made, but also a daily decision. I want to leave you with verse number 23 again. We'll read it one more time because I want to just so impress it upon us. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's a hard thing for us to do. Have mercy. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. You and I have an enemy. It's not who we thought it was. That enemy that I'm talking about makes us worldly and mean and self-righteous and unkind and pharisaical. And that enemy, I looked at mine this morning. We like to say it's somebody else, they're causing my problems. People out there can cause very little problems unless you let them. Die to self. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, I die daily. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Certainly not a bombastic message, dear Lord, and I pray, though, that you've gotten the message to the people that we need. Lord, my flesh gives me so much trouble, and I'm only assuming that everybody else is like me. Lord, I want to report for duty today because it's Sunday, but I want to report for duty tomorrow, even though it's not the Lord's day. I want to take up my cross. I want to live for you. And Lord, I believe that some of the greatest Christians in the world go to this church. I really do. And I pray, dear Lord, that you have driven some things down deep in our hearts. Dear Lord, that we would battle the flesh. Daily decide to put off the works of the flesh and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. Would you stand to your feet if you're able to? And as they begin to play, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. I know what you're thinking. Well, I don't want to go down now. Everybody will think I'm a fleshly somebody. I don't think that they would think that, but if they did, then it probably shows that we need the message more than if we didn't think that. So I'm inviting you to come to the altar. You say, do I have to? No, you certainly don't. But some of my best decisions I've ever made in my life have made in the altar. I got married at an altar other than Jesus Christ. The best decision I've ever made was to marry Amy. I did it at an altar. I surrendered my life to preach the gospel at an altar. I've made so many life-changing decisions at an altar. Whether you come to the altar or stay back there where you are, would you please make a Holy Spirit-led decision to die to self? As I said, kind of the three-part enemy we have, the world, the flesh, and the devil. One of those three is giving us trouble. Well, all of them are. But specifically, we call one out tonight, giving us so much trouble, our flesh. Perhaps you're here tonight and you need to do business with the Lord. The altar's open. If you need somebody to pray with you, we'll certainly do that. As they play through another verse, here's the invitation again. If you're here and you're saved and the Lord has led you to that place and you want to make a Holy Spirit-led decision to deny the flesh, walk with the Lord, I beg you, do that. If do it up here, do it at your seat, whichever, that's immaterial. But that you would make that decision. Don't leave without sealing that deal with the Lord, sealing it in your heart, I should say. And then perhaps you're here and you're not sure you're saved. I didn't preach specifically about that, but rest assured, this church has stood on the message of the gospel, and that is that Jesus died for your sins so that you could go to heaven. He's the only way that you can go to heaven. If you'd like to accept Him as your Savior, would you step out and come? Let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be sure that your faith is placed completely in Him. Maybe there's some other spiritual need. You need to be baptized. You've never been baptized after you got saved. You'd like to come. I invite you. Maybe you'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I invite you for that. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, what a joy to be in church tonight. Thank you, Patch, young people, for singing. Thank you so much for laboring, getting it learned, and getting in here. Thank you for the Farlesses for singing as well. Choir, thank you for singing that song. It took me way back where we'll never grow old. And appreciate all of the things that went into the service tonight. And don't forget to be praying this week that the Lord would work on each other. Pray one for another. We ought to be. Tomorrow at 1 p.m., Brother Daniel is moving. And so if you're able to help at 1 p.m., there's supposed to be some rain, I think, in the morning. They're working on a few other things to get ready. So if 1 p.m., they live out on Shadden Road, 936. If you could stop by and see him today, tonight, or show up, of course, but just come by. It'd be the easiest to let him know tonight that you can come give a little bit of time and help him move. It's right here local, and we'll get them settled in. So if you'd like to do that, then certainly we encourage you to do and be a blessing to them. And I believe that's all the announcements. Oh, one other one. Don't forget that this week and next, but this week specifically, is there's a tent meeting out on the Bristol Highway just up from Brother Larry Stover's RV sales just up on the other side of the road. They've got the tent set up. That starts tomorrow night at 7:30. And be a wonderful meeting. It'll be all this week and then all next week. And so I challenge you to go out, hear some good preaching, be in a great atmosphere. And it should be plenty warm. I don't think you'll have to bring your coat at all. It should be nice and it may get cool in the evening. Who knows? But I know it'll be a great time and challenge you to be over there and they'll have great meetings, I'm sure. Thank you for being in church tonight. And I challenge you, as often we do, to talk to three or four people before you you go that you haven't talked to yet. And we'll certainly, I want you to be praying for Brother Kermit Deakins. It's so good to see him come in back there. He's been having some health issues, and so I want you to keep him lifted up in prayers, and we'll certainly thank the Lord for what he's going to do. Brother Jordan, would you come pray for us, dismiss us, and then we'll go to the house.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you again for this opportunity to come together as a body of believers. Lord, open your word. Lord, have you speak with us. Lord, I thank you for meeting with us tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd go with each one of us as we go our separate ways, Lord. And may as we face each day, Lord, as we wake up and we battle self, I pray, Lord, that we would be reminded of this. Lord, that one day when we get home, that we'll be children who please our Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we just have that on our heart this week. Go with us now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.